let's look at this second verse. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth, for thy love is better than wine. This is not just a mere sentimental, sweet little expression. It is sentimental. It is an expression, but chiefly it's an experience that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Let's just look at the kiss in the Word of God for a few moments. In Luke 15, verses 11 through 32, we have the prodigal son who leaves his home and his work and his responsibilities. He gets his inheritance from his father, and he goes out into the world. He wastes his money, and he winds up nothing, just slopping the hogs, as they say. That's what he winds up as. And he comes to his senses and realizes that he needs to get back home. And so on his way back home, while he's still a long way off, his father sees him and runs out to meet him and puts his arm around him, hugs him, and kisses him on the neck. This is a beautiful picture, the kiss of forgiveness and acceptance from our Heavenly Father when we stray away from Him, when we're out of fellowship with Him. Then there's another kiss I hope none of us ever experience, and that's found in Luke 22, verses 47 through 48. This is when Judas Iscariot plants a kiss on Jesus' cheek. This is the kiss of betrayal. This goes on a lot, even in Christian circles. Then in Luke 7:38, the young woman by the name of Mary, who anoints the feet of Jesus, and as she anoints his feet, she kisses her feet, his feet. This is the kiss of submission and her acceptance of Jesus Christ and her willingness to sit at his feet and be taught of him. But there's something extremely unique about this kiss, the Song of Solomon 1:2. It's not us kissing Jesus. It's not Judas kissing Jesus. It's deeper. It's deeper than that. It's let him kiss me. Let him kiss me. She wants Jesus to kiss her. Have you ever been kissed by Jesus Christ? Last Friday night or early Saturday morning, one of the brothers here in the meeting, he was driving his big truck on the freeway. Someone ran in front of him, drove the car, car in front of him, and just barely struck the truck. And the truck driver, the man in this meeting, in order to avoid hitting any other cars as he began trying to get away from this near collision, he ran over to the crash wall dividing the lanes in the freeway. And the truck turned over, just flipped right over this wall and just tore out, I guess, about 100 feet. And the truck never hit anybody. But do you know what the Lord Jesus Christ did? He picked up this man in his mighty arms and kept him out of the jaws of death. He held him up in his mighty arms. And do you know what that was? That was a kiss from the Lord Jesus Christ. He kissed life and protection and physical security into that man's life. That's a kiss from Jesus Christ. Have you ever had Jesus Christ kiss you? I have. I've been in the depths of despair, and I didn't know which way to turn. And I just felt the Lord Jesus Christ comforting my heart and letting me know that He was there caring for me. We have another experience here in the meeting where one of the families was at the Tucumcari camp meeting, and the father was smitten with kidney stones, and he was just doubled up in pain as those kidney stones would pass through his system. One of the brothers at the camp meeting went to that motel and literally picked up this man in his arms and held him there to his own heart as he prayed for him. And that caring just comforted this brother's heart. And that meant so much to him during that time of pain and suffering. That's what Jesus Christ does to us. How many times Jesus has taken us in his arms and says, I'm with you. I'm with you. You're not by yourself. But I want you to know that the bride of Christ wants this. She desires this. Let me remind you, this is the first step on the race course. The very first step. Does that mean anything at all to us this morning? Do you want Jesus more than anything else? Are you willing to submit and yield to the tender, loving care of Jesus Christ? This kiss from Jesus Christ is saying that He's with us. He's taking us in His arms. This is the very depths of Shulamite love, and we're plunged right into it. Now, I want to say something right here about this lesson, and these lessons as I teach them. I'm not presenting myself up as one who has totally arrived at all of these things. And I believe I'd be foolish in trying to even imply that. No, we're all on this race course together. And I have my struggles the same as you do. And the more we understand that and realize it, the better off we'll be. All right. As I said, the life that we present here is not just my own life of Albert Astles or your life. It's the new creation life that we are in Christ Jesus. The life which we all possess. This teaching here in the Song of Solomon is a departure from the stereotype doctrinally oriented Christian. We're looking at the life that is refined and shaped and conformed by what doctrine should do, driving us into Jesus' arms. We're continually being brought into that place where we learn that Jesus Christ is the chief of 10,000 to us. He's the altogether lovely one. And as I said, this is the starting point of the overcoming life. If you want to advance on the race course, plant your first step right here. Experience Jesus' love for you. Put yourself into His arms. Put yourself into His care. Here I am, Jesus. I am yours. I need your care. I need your loving care. Beware of the Christian aesthetics that are at large in the world today. What are the Christian aesthetics? Pictures of Jesus, poems about Jesus, songs about Jesus, and even doctrines about Jesus. We can be so moved by those things and totally lose sight of Jesus Himself. There's nothing wrong with the pictures and the songs and the poems and, yes, even the doctrines, if those doctrines are the result of Jesus being in our hearts chiefly. She goes on to say in verse 3, "Thy love is better than wine." Thy love is better than wine. Wine here literally means fermented grape juice, simply. But here in the Song of Solomon, it's allegorical. Wine is a picture to us of something else. It's a picture to us of anything that gives us pleasure, joy, and happiness. Anything in life, whether it's spiritual or natural, there's no classification here. But it means to us here that Jesus' love for us is life's greatest ongoing joy, life's greatest ongoing pleasure, happiness, thrill, and excitement. Does that excite you? Does Jesus excite you? Is He happiness? Is He joy? Is He pleasure? Does it thrill you to know that you're secure in Jesus Christ and none can pluck you out of the Father's hand? Does it thrill you to know that Jesus is with you every moment? Oh, praise God. That's what this love is better than wine is talking about. When I was a teenager, my stepdad, and my stepdad was still alive, he took pictures and he developed those pictures, and I learned a little bit about that while I watched him. And I learned that there's one certain chemical that he uses to what they call to tone pictures. When pictures are first taken, especially portraits, there's a harshness about them. And all the flaws and the facial flaws and things are very prominent. But when you tone that picture, all those flaws are taken out. And that's literally what this Song of Solomon and this message is all about. Especially Jesus' love for us. It tones up our whole life to where we're not overburdened and over full of problems with all the harsh, ugly things of our lives. We see ourselves in Jesus Christ. We are strengthened by His life within us. And as I said, this is the beginning of the race. Let Jesus love you. Beware of the wines of religion. The wines of religion can be denominationalism, and most Christians are happy here, and even Pentecostals can be fooled by the wine of Pentecostalism. That is, they're taken up with demonstration. They're taken up with tongues and the dancing and the shouting. There's nothing wrong with those things, and we need them. But we need them only as a result of Jesus Christ being first. I never want a shout or a word in tongue unless it's the result of Jesus Christ being in my heart. Do you want the Holy Spirit's greatest work in your life? John 16, verse 14 tells us it's to glorify Jesus Christ. Jesus Himself said that. The Holy Spirit didn't come to magnify or glorify Himself. He came to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we move on down here to verse 3. I don't know how far we'll get, but we'll go as far as we possibly can. Because of the savor of thy good ointments, thy name is as ointment poured forth. Therefore do the virgins love thee. We'll discuss the word because in just a moment. But now let's move on. The word ointment here in verse 3 literally is synonymous with the word anointed. You could use the same thing. The savor of thy anointing oil. And what is so beautifully significant about this word anointed or ointment is that one of the names of Jesus Christ means anointed. Lord Jesus Christ. Christ means anointed. Now this is no mere coincidence. It's not just accidental, because Jesus Christ is that one who has the savor of good ointments in His name. And it says ointment poured forth. So we want to talk about this ointment. This takes us directly back to the 30th chapter of Exodus, where God there had purposed the apothecary. He set apart certain priests, and it was their job to work in the apothecary. They took spices that God alone chose, and each one of those spices, individually and collectively and compounded together, represent all that Jesus Christ did on the cross, all that He provided, all that He brings to us when He comes into our heart. But the way they were in their original state is that they were a powder. And having no body, they would never totally be practical. And so God devised a way, a catalyst, that would blend all those powders into one. And that was to take olive oil and to mix with these spices, and it made it one ointment or anointing oil. The oil represents the Holy Spirit, who takes all the provisions of Christ on the cross and compound them into one grand provision, which we call salvation. All the works of Christ are brought to play in our lives when He comes into our hearts. And that's what the bride of Christ is talking about in verse 3. And this is a part of her beginnings on the race course. Because of the savor of thy good ointments. We're not going to be able to get much farther than this. Let me say again, I'm saying it for the first time. Whatever this ointment touched, it became pungent with the fragrance of these compounded spices. And the person or object that it touched became pungent with this same fragrance. And guess who was pleased? God up in heaven was totally 100% pleased and satisfied by the sweet savor of Jesus Christ. Not just Jesus Christ alone, but by all that He accomplished and provided and did for us on the cross of Calvary. And did you realize there is a total doctrine built around the savor of Jesus' precious name. And that's called propitiation. Propitiation is the doctrine that teaches that what Jesus Christ did on the cross totally satisfies divine justice. As we said, the olive oil represents the Holy Spirit. And not only does the Holy Spirit satisfy God's heart, but the Holy Spirit takes all the works of Jesus Christ, the provisions of Jesus Christ on the cross, and makes them real to our physical being. Do you understand that? We are literally saved from sin. Our bodies are quickened by the Holy Spirit. He takes the Spirit of Christ within us, and we are literally quickened to where we're not debtors to live after sin and the flesh. That complete works of salvation become practical and real and literal to us. Nothing could happen where the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is concerned unless the Holy Spirit made the totally spiritual life of Christ and our physical being compatible. Do you understand that? You're made one in Jesus Christ, and you're totally acceptable before God. This is mysterious. We can't completely understand this. We have to accept it by faith, just the same way we accept many things from nature by faith. Well, we're going to have to stop right here. We're going to have to stop at this particular point because we just are running out of time, and I'd rather stop than to try to crowd more words in here. You see, not only does God sense the sweet savor of Christ, but we do also. He tones our lives by his kisses. And the work of Jesus Christ on the cross are all one beautiful package. He kisses us and he sanctifies us. He gave us another kiss and he justified us. He gave us another kiss and he propitiated our lives before God. He gave us another kiss and he sanctified us. Oh, it just goes on and on and on. And he kisses away every tear and every heartache. Take this first step and begin your life on the race course today to win Jesus Christ. Let's look to the Lord, our blessed Heavenly Father. We praise you this morning. And oh, Father, we have such a limited language. Thank you that you've given us another tongue whereby we can praise you to the utmost. Oh, we thank you, our Heavenly Father, for the love that's better than wine, the kisses of Jesus Christ. Help all the saints who've never yet started on the race course to take this first step and say, Jesus, I'm yours. I'm yours. I want your total sway in my life. If you've been depending upon a denomination, or your works, or your talents to get you by, right now, put them at Jesus' feet and say, I'm yours. Use these for your glory. But they do not make me worthy, not one bit. Oh, we need your strength, we need your love, and we thank you for your kisses. Praise your holy, sweet name. And we just ask you to take total charge of our lives now. Precious, holy name, before I close, I'd like to read you just the lyrics of a little chorus I picked up this last week. It's called, Jesus, for Thyself Alone. I love Thee, Lord Jesus, just for Thyself alone. Not only for the treasures bestowed upon Thine own, I thank Thee for the riches of grace to me made known, but I love Thee more, yes, more and more, just for Thyself alone. Did you hear it? Isn't that beautiful? I love Thee, Lord Jesus, for Thyself alone, not only for the treasures bestowed upon Thine own. I thank Thee for riches of grace to me made known, but I love Thee more, yes, more and more, just for Thyself alone. And may God instill in our heart this love of Jesus Christ for us and the ointment of His good name. Praise the Lord. I say unto thee, the Shulamite prayed, let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth. Is this your prayer? Call upon me. Call upon me. I will meet your needs. I stand ready
and willing to meet your every need. Call upon me. Let me kiss you. Let me put my arms around you and bring you through your test. Bring you through your trial. Don't try to battle it all by yourself. Don't try to go it all alone. Jesus is with you. He's with you. He accepts you. He cares for you. Praise the Lord.
This last week, when I was visiting Mark Osborne in the hospital, Maxine reminded me of the time when her husband, Ozzy, was sick in Tucumcari with kidney stones. And she said Raymond went in to pray for him and just picked that big old Ozzy up in his arms. And Ozzy really felt Raymond's caring love. And that meant as much to anything that happened during to Ozzy during that time. I tell you, Jesus wants to do the very same thing. He wants to take you up in his arms. Don't resist this initial act of love between Jesus and yourself. Remember, it's the very first step on the race course is learning to let Jesus love you. Amen.